Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talk Over podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music.
Are we inside the ride? It's a Talk Over podcast. It's DJ Stylus and DJ Double
in
on the
line.
Building.
Hashtag
in the building.
Talk Over podcast.
The guy always says in the building, you know. Man sat in a car right now. Does that count?
I love the mobility. Does that count? Like the mobility of
on the road podcasting.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's got
you get me. Someone just tweeted us then and was like, do you know any studios to record the podcast? And I'm thinking, bruv, if you only knew.
Yeah, that was Ramel London, actually. She does a couple.
Yeah, shout out to Ramel.
We got Ramel.
Yeah.
But
I was thinking, if you only knew where we record, man. I wish I could point you in the direction of a decent studio.
Yeah. And to be fair, I've got a good spot at the moment, but it's perfect timing us not doing the camera work now, because, not even joking, bruv, it looks like someone burgled my studio. Like, I got.
Oh my god!
I'm repatterning a few things, and there's just bits everywhere. Like, yeah, it looks like a building site again. So.
Yeah, it definitely came at the right time, because I don't even have a studio right now either. No. So, yeah.
Perfect time.
All gravy, man. What are you saying anyway, bro? How's things? Right, it's been 2 weeks. I think it's been 2 weeks since we last spoke.
Yeah, it has. It has been 2 weeks since the last pod.
Life has took a bit of a turn since last time we spoke. Yeah, everything's a bit of a myth right now.
Yeah, you're a busy boy, innit?
Yeah, man, stepping back into this promo life, innit? I don't know what I've signed up for, mate. Do you know what? I forgot how much work goes into this shit. Like, obviously, I had 4 or 5 years under my belt anyway, but there was more of a team of us, and now that I'm trying to kind of tackle this new brand on its own, mm-hmm. Yeah, you just... bruv, the grind is it's took over my life right now. Missus hates me. I'm not seeing any of my friends. I've got no friends. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What? All good. It's all good. And that's what I wanted to chat to you about this today anyway, man, because I swear we even mentioned this subject a couple of weeks ago and you aired it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember saying, yo, I want to talk about DJs doing events, innit? I feel like it's an important one. And you was like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah, man. See what I mean? You don't remember. You didn't even take it in, family.
Air pie, bruv. Air pie.
Anyway. Right, do you know what it was, bro? I keep going on social media every Friday, Saturday night, and I just see, like, I'm the worst for it. I used to do it as well. Like, DJs just moaning about venues, customers, punters, like, the usual gripes, people asking for songs, all of this, all of that.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously, I've not done any events now for a few years, so I kind of fell back into that category of being a moaning DJ. But one thing that I would say that helps eliminate all that is DJs being able to build their own club brand, they are just in control of everything in it, from the people that come to the dance, the music that you want to play, the vibe that you want to give off, and like, yeah, that's what I want to talk about today, bro.
100%,
because,
man.
I'm back in the mode, family.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
feeling
yeah,
gassed
I think,
right now,
bro,
and it's fresh in the mind.
I can agree 1,000%, man, because the thing is, like, I get annoyed, bruv, because I see so many, especially it's worst on a Sunday. You see social media on a Sunday, yeah, after everyone's had their Saturday night gigs. Oh, my word, like, I get...
Even during the gig, flipping it. People will be doing posts during the set.
Yeah, bro, they do, innit? But I get, like, mm-hmm. I get a bit of banter every now and then. And, like, if you watch my Insta stories and stuff, like, my Insta stories 90% of the time are just banter on, like, shit people in the club, basically. Like, if there's some couple...
Yeah,
that
you expose, man.
Yeah, but if there's a couple just necking each other right in front of the DJ box, bruv, I'm filming myself tipping water on them and shit like that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, that's nasty, man. Like, who does that shit, bro?
Exactly, but the thing is, I feel like there's a very thin line between bantering about it and then just all out moaning and complaining about it. And I think the problem is a lot of DJs are comfortable in their positions and, like, maybe a little bit scared to step out of their comfort zone, so
Okay.
So they're playing, they're accepting jobs that they wouldn't do. Let's just say, for example, if money wasn't a factor, how many DJs would still be doing the jobs, the sets that they are currently doing? Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they need to step out of the jobs they don't want to do, and exactly like you said, just start building their own nights and building their own brands. But it's
obviously it's not that easy. Do you know what I mean? You can't just be like, oh, I'm gonna start a club night.
Oh, it's much easier said than done. Yeah, it's a lot of hard work, bruv, but still, like, if you want good rewards,
I guess,
you wanna do that,
I guess it's different for different areas as well. Yeah, man, I guess it depends if, like, there's a demand in, like, basically the reason why I've managed to get back into it is because Manny's just took a bit of a nosedive.
Yeah,
and there isn't any solid, don't get me wrong, there's nights here, there's club spots that are doing well and whatnot, but I just feel like, without blowing my own trumpet, since we stopped doing jam, I just don't think there's been a real solid music orientated night, which is just based on fucking vibes, bro.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I hear that.
None of that. Like, don't get me wrong, we've got some VIP booths and what and all that, whatever, but, like, we don't separate the people in it. Like, we put everyone on the same page, and the night is based on vibes, and that's what Manny is missing. So stepping, timing's worked out for me over this way.
Yeah.
But so yeah, yeah. It's a madness. I guess it depends on different areas, innit? But I would say to any DJ, whilst you're working for other clubs and, like you say, playing your position in a rave for a promoter or a club, whatever, always be mindful of building your own flex, innit? Like, build your name in its own right, as well as, like, the venue. Do you know what I mean? Like, some venues build it up and they get the weight and the DJ doesn't.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like the DJs have got to focus a lot on themselves as well, to be able to, so when they do step away, they can, like, begin to build their own brand or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, with us, it was when we started doing events, it was three DJs all on the same page.
Yeah.
And we were all having the same issues, gripes with clubs, ravers, punters. And we were just like, fuck this, let's just cut the promoters out. It was unheard of in Manny at the time. We were just like, do you know what, let's cut these guys out, let's try a thing. And our original slogan when we started promoting was, we are not promoters, hashtag on the hashtag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, we played on that whole, look, we're not promoters, but we're going to throw a fucking party kind of thing. Just three DJs knocking heads, and we're just going to do it that way. And, like, that's what worked for us, because it had not been done before. But, yeah, obviously the promotion game has completely changed now. Completely.
Oh, mate, you know what? The whole clubbing landscape has completely changed. But the problem is, like, you mentioned earlier about certain places don't have a market, and I disagree, especially for the type of music that we play. I think every area has a market. Even if you're from the smallest town in the world, you could get a pocket of
a couple hundred man, innit?
No, but listen, even smaller, even if you're in the smallest town in the world, yeah, you could rent a local pub, or even go to the local pub and be like, right, next month on Friday, can I put on my own thing? And even if you've got 40 people from nearby to come and just vibes to what you want to do, that is doing what you want to do. Do you know what I mean? But, like, obviously, yeah, different areas, you can upscale it and change it. It doesn't have to be a local pub. Like, you could go to the local super club if you reckon you can get 2,000 people there. Find a nice bar somewhere if you reckon you get 200, 300 people. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's... The problem is, it's hard work. And I think, like, that's another problem is, as well as being afraid to step out of their comfort zone, I think a lot of people, they're not willing to put in the hard work. And I'll put my hands up as this, bruv, I'm one of them. That's why I don't have... I'm being honest, bruv. That's why I don't have...
I respect the honesty, man.
That's why I don't have my own DJ double brand, and that's why I partnered with Shocker, with RUM, which I'll elaborate on in a sec. But the reason I don't very own dance that is just mine is because I can't be fucking asked to put in the legwork and spend all of that time... No, actually, not that I can't be asked, but a lot of my time's taken up on the other stuff I do, and the spare time that I have, I can't be asked to invest it into that. Do you know what I mean? So what I did was I teamed up with Shocker B from Southampton, and him and I now do the real urban music events in different parts of the country, which are good events. So, do you know what I mean?
I see you, bro.
And they're good, brother. And do you know what I mean? Shocker is a very, very motivated, very driven guy who, like... And yeah, he does 85% of the work. Do you know what I mean? But the good thing is, I'm in charge of the music policy, so we also know every single event is sick. Do you know what I mean?
See, that's the thing, bro, right? What a better person to run an event in a club than a DJ?
Mm-hmm.
You get me? Like, who knows about music better than the man that are playing the songs?
And let's be real as well.
We've touched on this before, innit? With managers that are in charge of clubs and telling DJs what to do, but they don't know about music. They're not plugged.
Exactly.
So
yeah, and we have
it doesn't work.
That. But let's be real, yeah? It's like,
get me.
If you look at all the brands that I know of that are music-led, every single one is run by a DJ or a music fan. Do you know what I mean? The ones, and yep. I'm talking about, like, just for example, like Martin Too Smooth has his Hollaback events. I've heard nothing but good things about them because they base it on the music. Do you know what I mean?
Good vibes only.
It is. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's just, I'm just trying to think of loads off the top of my head. But even when Jam, there's a good example.
There's a load up here, bro. There's loads up here. Dan Hills with Sticky Feet. Then you've got the Love Doe guys up in Newcastle. Like, all these brands are headed by music people.
Yeah.
Whether it's even not just DJs, there's people that love music. You get me? Like,
and that's,
doesn't always have to be a DJ.
Yeah. That's the thing. And like, I think for DJs, if they're listening to this and thinking, oh, you know what, I haven't got the knowledge, or I haven't got the resources, or I can't be arsed, like, double, like, find someone that you know that is as passionate about your music as you are and partner up with them. Do you know what I mean? Two people, that's half the work.
Yep.
Stuff like that. Like, I think that's what's quite important. Shout out to actually DJ Walshy. I didn't go to his event, but I saw him talking online about he's just done his first event. And he said,
yo, I seen that, you know. Is that was it Unique Parties or something? I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
Name
I can't
now,
remember
I see
the
that
name,
on my
to
timeline.
Be honest. But he just literally just popped into my thoughts when I was thinking of other DJs that did it. And he said online, I saw his, I think it was a tweet, it might have been Facebook, but he said that he sold out his first event. Like, That's thinking outside the box.
Big
man.
Up
that's,
Walshy. That's proper.
Going ahead and getting your stuff done. Do you know what I mean? And starting your night. Like,
don't get me wrong, bro. It's scary, innit? Like you say, some people are in the comfort zone or whatever. But shit, we're all gonna die one day, bro. Like, try. Why? It's real. Yeah. Like, I've been watching too much Gary Vee. But if you don't try it, you're not gonna know.
Yeah.
Like, go out there, put 100% in. And try it to the best of your ability, and you might surprise yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm doing this new event on my own, yeah? Bear in mind, Jam was three of us.
Yeah.
And staff. Now, 3 years, 4 years later, I'm doing it on my ones. And, like, I'm just going, I don't even know how it's going to end up, bro. You get me? But all I know is I'm putting 100% in, and I'm just going to go for it. If it don't work, it don't work.
Yeah, yeah,
I've tried. Get me? But I like to think I've built up enough experience and kind of know the market, and like, times are changing now, and it's a lot easier to reach people with social media. And like I was just saying to you before we started this cast, like, people's phones is like their TVs now.
Oh mate, yeah, crazy.
And then the TV is like the radio. So I've just approached this because the promo game has changed. I've just digitalized everything. I've just made sure my marketing online is on point, and everything I'm putting out through the gram and everything is engaging the people.
Yeah.
And I've not, back in the day, I'd hit the street and flyer outside clubs and do the real street grind, but that just doesn't engage the people now.
No.
I've just done this whole event through Twitter and Instagram and little bits on Facebook, not even really on Facebook, and then through like my own phone book, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I just think if people have got the tools and the mentality to put the grind in, it can be done, bro.
Yeah,
it can be done. Like, if you could, you might have to throw a bit of money where your mouth is and take a bit of a risk and whatnot, like with, like you do with any business, like any business venture. But yeah, man, I'd say it to any DJ, like, be your own boss, innit? Like, if build your own following, and then that way you can be in control of your music, your output, the brand, the image, the lot, man. Like, I know it's not that easy, but if you sat there at home thinking, oh, I don't know, I don't really want to do it, Walshy there, prime example.
Yeah.
Like, I remember him talking on social media not long ago that he was having his ups and downs with the game and whatever. Sounds like he's just gone for it, man, and jumped out at it and sold out his event.
Exactly.
So
that's exactly the
big
point.
Big up Walshy, you get me?
Yeah, man. If he's got to a point where he's not enjoying where he is, or he doesn't like what the places he's having to play or whatever his gripes were, he's basically got off his ass, put together a party, sold it out, and he's probably, if he DJ'd for it, which I imagine he DJ'd for it, I don't imagine he was just the promoter. If he DJ'd for it,
I'm on his Instagram now, I'm just having a little look, it looks like it, but yeah, it's like culture parties, man.
Yeah,
dope shit.
Like, and if he DJ'd for it, which I imagine he did, he's gonna be in full control, which means he can just do whatever music he wants to do. Do you know what I mean? Like another example, Volatile, with he's got Switch and he's got,
yeah,
what's the other one he does? He's got another brand.
Get involved.
That's the one.
That's the old school thing.
Brother, I heard nothing. I never went to a Get Involved. But
Volatile's a genius, you know. Volatile's a genius.
I heard nothing but good things about that one. And it was, I remember the policy, chatting to him about it. The policy of it was, you basically just play what the fuck you want to play. And like, if the crowd ain't with it, they ain't with it. And speaking of policies, shouts to DJ Policy, because out in Ibiza, he's just started his own event, which is Urban Policy. So if anyone's heading, oh shit, it's a bit late in the season now, but if anyone goes out to Ibiza, make sure you hit up DJ Policy. And he has a night at Es Paradis called Urban Policy, which is good, I have been told.
So man, like Policy. And
it's happening, bro. There's a lot of people doing their own events. Even on a massive scale, Charlie Sloth, obviously, he's got his Fire in the Park festival. I mean, that's next level stuff, and he has business partners and things like that.
But yeah, but that guy's moving on a different page. It's not fair.
But you know what? It just goes to show, bruv, like, why are more DJs not getting involved in doing that sort of thing? When you see the people at the top, the way that they're moving. So Charlie Sloth's just about to put on his own festival. Nathan Dore did it this year. I swear it was 0121 Fest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did the 0121 Fest. Yeah, I bumped into him in Mali a couple of weeks ago. We were chatting about it, man, and he was like, yeah, it's sick, but like the grind is mad, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
As you can imagine, from a club night to like to that.
And he's done headline shows as well. Obviously, these guys have like, they've got teams. It's not just one person on their own, but that just emphasizes.
Oh yeah, 100.
That just emphasizes what I was saying about find someone who's as passionate about your sound as you, and work together. Do you know what I mean? Like, put your resources together and team up and do something.
Yeah, that's it. When you're working with people, it has to be the right people, man. Yeah. And like I just said before, it doesn't even have to be a DJ.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, sometimes when it's all DJs, it can be a little bit of a clash here and there. Like, we had our issues with Jam over the years. Like, we clashed over bits and bobs or whatever, but like, we managed to work it out. But definitely, you've got to be on the same page.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Everybody has to be on the same page, man. So,
yeah, definitely.
Bruv,
fine.
Man's back in the game now, you know. I'm gassed.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for Saturday, bro.
Get loose this Saturday. By the time this podcast, when's this podcast dropping?
The other point is as well, finding, if you're going to team up with someone who does events, like finding someone who complements what you do. Like, for example, using the real urban music stuff that I do with Shocker, like, yeah, we complement each other, because without him, there wouldn't be people at the party. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't do the promotion side of it like that. Like, he handles all of the branding, all of the promotion, all of that. Like, I just make sure that once they're there, they have the sickest time.
I hear that. That's a good way to do it, to be fair. He brings them in and then just feeds them to you.
Yeah, he brings
you
them in.
You entertain them and them, innit?
He brings them in, I keep them in, basically. Like, and that's how it works. It's a perfect partnership, bro, because everything Shocker does extremely well, I do terribly or can't be asked to do, and everything I'm just being real, bruv, everything that I do, like, Shocker doesn't do, basically. Do you know what I mean? Or like, on the night, for example, sometimes he might jump on and spin because he DJs as well, but most of the time he just loves being just running the night, making sure the artists that are booked, making sure they're right, everything's set there, making sure the door's all set. Like,
You guys have got a nice chemistry there, bro. That sounds sick. Like, I need a man like Shocker up here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think everybody needs a Shocker B. Do you know what I mean? Someone to complement what you do and to handle the other side of the coin. I feel like that's a very key thing to promoting.
Yo, I'm gonna start taking CVs. Yeah, so if you want to send your CV into me,
yeah,
statusofficial@gmail.com. Yeah,
yeah. I tell you what, I'm gonna wait until Saturday, see how that goes. If it's a Shellers, bruv, then I'll be a business partner with you.
Bro, I've always said this to you. If you lived up here,
oh, mate, it'd be game over.
And we could knock heads on something. Yeah. Listen, everyone does quote. You may as well just shut shop.
Yeah, Facebook, they wouldn't be bitching about their club nights. Everyone would be bitching about Double and Stylus if we lived in the same town, bro. Oh, you mad.
Bro, listen, I know that won't be fair, actually. No, it won't be fair.
I'll tell you what I'm interested to know from you, actually. Can you talk us through the process that you went from, like, the inception of the idea? Obviously, you're a branding wizard, so you come up with the whole Get Loose branding and stuff. But talk to me.
What, you mean from Jam or from now?
No, from now, from this time round, as a solo promoter, just because I feel like there might be some DJs that are sat at home listening or driving home from the club right now listening, thinking, you know what? Yeah, I want to start my own night, but I have no idea where to begin. Because they don't realise you've got to find a venue, you've got to find the brand name, you've got to come up with the branding, all the promotion. Like, so
yeah.
talk about, basically,
I'm trying to think where to even start. I'm trying to think where to start. How can I need to break it right down from the beginning.
Break it down and explain what goes into and what's required for setting up your own night, just so that the younger people kind of have some kind of idea, even down to, like, budget wise. Do you know what I mean? Like, how much money would you need on a minimum to sort of put in a setup? Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah. To be fair, bro, with this one, it was a lot of timing involved. Mm-hmm. We've had countless conversations where I was like, oh, I want to get back into it, I want to get back into it, but it was just like the marketing, Manny, like waiting for the gaps again, venues, it's luck of the draw. But one place where you've got to start is having a bit of pull on your own name. Like, that sounds really basic, but if you're trying to put on a night but you have zero weight, like, you're gonna struggle in it. Like, I've got 10 years in the DJ industry and 7-8 years in events, so it was a little bit easier for me to reintroduce myself. But what one thing is that the market is just completely different now, but I get that anyway. Like, I've been growing up through social media and whatnot. But yeah, brand wise fucking bruv, honestly, I've been sat on a few. Like, I'll just get random ideas as I'm getting
I know you honestly love doing your branding stuff, innit? I know you love a bit of branding.
It's fucking, bro, it's weird, man. Like, I'll just think of ideas, note them in my book, and then obviously as I've built my little creative business on the side, I was always saying to myself, look, when the time's right and a club pops up, by the time it gets there, I'm gonna be on point with videos, mm-hmm. like marketing, the branding or whatever, and I'll be able to just do this shit myself.
Yeah.
And save a load of money on outgoings and whatever, because budget wise you would normally budget for venue, branding, logos, staff, marketing. Do you know what I mean? Putting money on ads and whatnot through Instagram and all that kind of stuff.
So do you think
I've managed to,
do you think that's, sorry, go on, say what you're gonna say.
No, I was just gonna say I've managed to shave a lot of that off,
right? Okay,
this one, but only, obviously, that's only because I do a lot of that stuff myself now anyway, so I've managed to shave the budget down. But normally you would put bits aside for all of that, unless your name is absolutely popping and you can just jump on your Instagram and be like, yo,
yeah,
doing an event here, a man are gonna come through. But it never really works like that.
Mm-hmm. But even in that case, if you look at, like, using Nathan Dorr again as an example, like, he's got one of the most valuable names in clubland at the moment. But even still, 100. With 0121 Fest, bruv, they had to go in with the marketing. Like, they really had to push it hard, and it wasn't just him on his story. So even if you've got, and same with Fire in the Park, bruv, with Charlie Slough's thing, like, they had to have a whole schedule for announcing the artists and stuff like that. It couldn't just be Charlie Slough on his Insta going, oh, look, like, I'm going to have gigs turning up and Young Bane's turning up and da-da-da-da's turning up. Do you know what I mean? They've had,
I think,
a,
when you're dealing with festivals, isn't it, like, you've got to hit the masses for that, because you're talking 20, 30, 40 pound tickets and that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, loads, massive overheads, like, as well, like a huge loss.
Yeah, the overheads must be crazy, like security and like, I bet you have to chip into all of this stuff, make sure everyone's safe. Obviously with club nights it's a little bit different. This one I'm touching now, the venue only holds 350,
right?
Like, I know my market, I know what I'm going for, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to create this huge clubbing brand. I'm trying to create a spot, Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A spot where a man know they can go on a Saturday, they're going to get the realness, the real music. There's going to be, like, Manchester doesn't even have hosts, brother. Too tough. Like, we're going to bring a host in. The night is going to be, it's just going to be done in a proper way, man. Like, Manny just doesn't have right now, innit?
Yeah.
But yeah, venue-wise, again, look at the draw, bro. There's no venues here. And then my friend gets hold of a venue where we did our first ever jam event 7 years ago.
Right.
So what are the odds of that?
And so that
my
again,
guy hits
that,
me up.
That's the importance of networking as well, which is a podcast that we covered with Martin Toosmooth. But yeah, so I just wanted to throw that in there.
Nah, it's cool. I was going to say, so 7 years later from the first event and now just about to start my solo project, he calls, do you want to try something? I've been going back and forward with these ideas for time anyway. I'm sat on 2 or 3 club brands, still sat on Jam, but the guys didn't really want to do the Jam thing. Like, that was kind of put on the table first, and then yeah, man, I just jumped in with it. But then obviously venue hire comes into consideration. Mate, bro, do you know what? Yeah, I gotta be honest. I've been quite lucky with this one. I've managed to land a venue for free. I've done all my own, like, branding and whatnot. The only thing that I've ploughed into is making sure the soundtrack is on point. Mm-hmm. The DJs, hiring the DJs, and then Insta and Facebook marketing, really targeted ads and whatnot. Obviously, branched in with my own personal, like, bit of social media clout and my little following. And then people that used to come to our other events that are still on the scene that knew we provided top quality events.
Yeah.
So all that combined, like, we're semi back in business. But like, the process can be different for everyone. I know man that just go out and throw a shubs and I'll pull it off. Like, it's a different process for everyone, I'd say. But that's like my process has been that. When we did Jam, it was complete opposite. We would hit the streets with tickets and build a personable vibe with the followers. So when people bought tickets, we would say, yo, come on, link us in town, innit?
Yeah, I think that's...
And then they would come and get the ticket. It was dope.
I think
it was
that's
a sick
a really
idea.
Important
we would meet
thing,
them.
Though, you know, like, being personable with it. Like, I'll never forget, I used to do an event with a friend of mine called Nick Andrews, and we did, like, really early events together. I'm talking about 10 years ago now. And I used to watch the way that he would promote it. We started off by doing uni events. And, you know, you used to see people flying outside the club and they would just stand there and basically people would walk past and they would just hand them the flyer and not a single word was said or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? Not a single word said, bruv. But what Nick would do, he would actually make a point. Instead of handing a flyer out to every single one of the 1,000 people that came out the club, he would basically make sure only 100 people got the flyers, but he was talking to every single one of them, chatting like, oh, what kind of music do you like? Da, 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 da. Are you free on this day? Like, whereabouts do you, where else do you go out? Like, who'd you go out with? Do you know what I mean? And actually, like, befriending these people. And that's how the night became successful, bro. Again, like, this is me riding on the coattails of someone else who put in a lot of hard work, because Nick, like, again, Nick really, like, he really put in the work for the night, do you know what I mean? And because of him and his style. And that is actually how, that was one of the first people that I learned from about doing promotions and stuff, because he was showing me, like, yeah, you don't just give them the flyer and then hope they turn up. Like, rather than just...
See, my guy's got the idea, you know.
Smart,
that's,
but he, like,
that's pretty much how we did Jambo, same way. The personable approach is how we done it, because a lot of people think the DJs are a little bit out of reach.
Yeah.
So, like, when you connect with these ravers and you chat to them, like, when they used to come to the rave, bro, we would do random things like, yo, everyone to the bar, 50 shots of Jaeger.
Yeah, sick.
And we were, and the DJs, and we'd leave a song on or a little mix or whatever, and we'd all go to the bar and everyone would have shots together. It just created the energy, not just amongst us and the ravers, but the ravers amongst other ravers.
Yep.
So it deleted any animosity in the dance. Everyone was just getting on the same page.
That's sick.
We would meet people face to face, give them tickets. Our first, like, 2 years of Jam events, we would say, yo, we're going to be in town all day, and we would sit in town from 10 a.m. till 6 o'clock at night. And they would come, and we'd link them, have conversations with these guys.
Yeah,
so when they come to the rave on the night, it's like, yo, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Let's get a drink or whatever.
That's the thing,
but I've had the same approach now. But digitally. So I'm approaching these people from my Insta.
Yeah.
People that I may or may not know, or that people that I've crossed paths with, people that are showing up in related friends that I know into the same shit, and I'm opening conversation with these people. I'm not just trying to beg them. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between spamming and copy and pasting the same message into everyone's inbox, genuinely trying to open a conversation and do it in a more of a natural way. Do you know what I mean? 100%. Like, that's the way I approach it.
So when
they come on the night, I'm like, yes, what's going on, blah, blah, and we'll conversate and that, and the initial awkward opening conversation, it's already been done. Do you know what I mean? So when you meet on the night or whatever, everyone's cool and calm, and like, that's the way I've done it now, because not everyone's out picking up tickets in public. People are engaged into the phones and just try to move forward with the times, with the promo. Do you know what I mean? Same way. So, but yeah, the personable approach is key, man. Like, if you're one of them DJs that stands in the booth with a face on, you're not talking to man, don't even try putting on an event.
That's something I was going to touch on, actually. You mentioned at the start about, like, if you're going to put an event on, you need to have people to promote to. I think for DJs, it's really important to capture the fans at the clubs that you play at. So the residencies 100%. And stuff, the places you play now. I mentioned in the last podcast, I think it was the last one, about how data is the most important, like, online currency, bro. If you can capture your data, then of your fan base, you can contact them with anything, whether you're dropping a mix, whether you're putting event tickets out, you've got a direct
line
to
your fans.
It's
hard to catch data, isn't it? Like, as a DJ, it's hard.
Well,
like, because
yes.
I capture him through Insta, bro. I class my Instagram as data.
Yeah.
Like, I'm capturing man on there, and if you're locked into what I'm doing or whatever, like, I class that as data. You're within my immediate circle. I know you've obviously not got an email or whatever, but
yeah,
like, that's the way I've always done things. But yeah, you're right, data is the currency.
I think data is the currency, bro, and I think the key to actually getting something like this off the ground is aim at getting 300 email addresses, or maybe 400 email addresses. Do you know what I mean? Just to begin with, like, set yourself 2 months to get 400 email addresses, and every time you're playing in a club, when you see someone vibing to a song that you like, get their email address. Or if someone comes up and requests a song and you think, yeah, shit, that's a banger, say, okay, I'll play it, but you've got to give me your email address.
I hear that. That's not a bad
data
shout.
Data collection.
It's like you said, when you clock them in the club, bro, and they're having fun. I'll always say, like, don't get me wrong, yeah, you might DJ. 5-10 people might pull a face at you, but if 3 or 4 people come up and look like they had the sickest night, I go to them.
Yeah, man.
And I'm like, just like, yo, bit, like, big up. You guys give me the energy I need.
Yeah,
you get me? Like, I'll chat to them at the end of the night. Anyone else?
100%, man. I think
like,
it's really,
some people approach all the negativeness, don't they? They jump online and bitch about the people that have had a face in them.
Yeah.
Focus on the man that are feeling
it. Don't worry about
it.
Don't worry about that one guy that didn't have a good night. Worry about the 500 people that had a banging night. Do you know what I mean?
The one guy that's had the bad night is having a bad life.
Yeah, exactly. Worry.
Like, to stand there in the rave and be so entitled with a face on you, like, you've got problems yourself, mate.
Yeah.
So,
100%.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It comes around to what we were saying at the start, is about people bitching on social media on a Sunday. Oh, like, why are you telling me to play a next song when I'm just put this one on? Like, forget about them people, man. Just focus on the people that love the song that you put on. More importantly, connect with them outside of the club. Get their Instagram, get their email, whatever. Build up your fan base. Build up a database of your fans, I mean. And then straight away, you have a go-to collection of people that love what you do. And that is the foundation for building your event.
Don't get me wrong, it can be off-putting when man are trying to send you off in the dance, man. Like, I used to let it get to me. Like, sometimes it still does, but now what I do, when they have a face on them, I'll do the complete opposite and try and have an even more of a fun time.
Yeah, bro.
So then they're looking over like, my guy's having the time of his life and I am pissed.
Yeah, of course,
well,
man.
You better, like, be even more pissed.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. When there and then, as you're DJing, it is very, very off-putting, and like, I vibe off of people's energy, innit? So if I've got 10 people in front of me, like, in a circle together having a dance off or whatever, or like just proper getting into it right in front of me, bruv, that just feeds my energy even more. But at the same time, if I've got like one guy stood right in front of the box complaining because he doesn't like the song, or doing that stupid gesture across his neck to cut the song and da 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 next song or whatever, like, there and then it does fuck with my vibe. But then I just have to snap straight out of him and be like, cool, let me just look past this guy, because look how many people's on the dance floor right now. I don't.
The most annoying one is when they're stood at the front, though, yeah, man. Yeah. If they're right in front of the booth, bro, move.
Oh, bro, you know what happened to me last week?
Fucking move away from the front of the booth, man. Go and stand at the back, out of the way, or something.
Let me just tell you about this last week. Last week, yeah, I played a set. Where was I now? Where was I playing? Fuck, I can't remember. I think I was playing in Romford. Where was it? I think it was Romford, actually. It was definitely Romford. And bruv, the place was a vibe, yeah. Soup, like proper sick, proper good fun. And then I don't know why, but everyone seems to be against J1 at the moment. And I dropped J1 mocking it. I just mixed it in between two songs. Bruv, no shit, yeah. About 20 guys that were just dancing like to my right hand side all stopped, looked at me. And like they had the most disgusted looks on their faces. No shit, bro. I'll shit you not. They walked out. They just left.
And any man that can allow us, bro, yeah, it's musical chairs, bro. Any man that can, that they stand up and sit down for every song that they like or dislike, like, bruv, them people are ruining their own nights, though. Well, I thought about this the other day. I'm like, if they're that involved in their own head.
I think I ruined it.
No, they're ruining their own night, bro. Nah, it's not, man. Because I can be out in a dance and maybe not like one or two tunes. Great. But if you're in your own head, every other song, don't like this one, like this one, stand up, sit down. Like, you are ruining your own night.
Yeah.
How sad.
It's bad, isn't it?
Like, how entitled can you be to think that every song you've got to like? Like,
they walked out the room,
and every song has got to be for you. Let them walk out.
They might have even walked
fucking
out.
Push them out.
I'm not even joking. It was about 20 of them as well.
I'm nice to most ravers, man. But like, if people take the, like, I can, if you got on the wrong side of me and you're just being a dick, I will just shut you down real quick. But 90% of the time, I'm cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of stuff. If they were like, oh, walk out then, innit? Leave. I don't care.
See ya.
You know where the entrance is. See that door you walked in?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Back out that way, family.
But anyway. Yeah, sorry, that took us slightly off topic. But yeah, I think anyway.
Nah, it's cool.
When you're in the club,
we're having a bitch. We're talking about people bitching on social media. I'm having a bitch
on a whole podcast as well.
Love it.
I think
love it.
Yeah, I think the key is capturing your fan base and building a fan base. Like we said before, getting email addresses, getting data, like. Yeah, if you've got...
Even just getting your... It's when people hear your name, innit? And they're like... They associate that with good vibes.
Well, that's branding. That's different to building a fan base.
Yeah, get me.
Because that's actually about the branding, isn't it? Like, and that's another thing I think a lot of DJs overlook. Like, your DJing and your DJ name and how you present yourself, that's a brand. So even when it comes down to thinking of your name as a DJ, like using something like DJ Double and spelling it D-U-B-L is really shit branding. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's terrible. It's really...
I'm
saying about branding. Like, just using your DJ name as branding. Like, my DJ name is shit for branding, bro. Because... No. But honestly, real talk. Because...
Guy's got L in his name.
No, because if I'm in the club and I say on the mic...
Dub L.
And I say on the mic, I'm DJ Double. Anyone that's like, oh, this guy's sick, they're going to look up DJ D-O-U-B-L-E.
Yeah, they are.
Similarly, do you know how many people I get saying, oh, it's Dub L? Like, it's not Dub L, it's Double. So, like, my branding is terrible, like, in terms of the thought process behind my name, because there wasn't one. But we're talking to, like, what, 12, 13, 14 years ago, I think I came up with it. Do you know what I mean? And I wasn't forward thinking like this about using it as a brand. And the problem is, well, it's not a problem, obviously, but it's got to a point now where I can't change it because I'm so invested in my everything I have built is built around the DJ Double name. But I do think in terms of outside of the industry, having like an actual fan base, I think I'd have a much bigger fan base if I'd chosen a better name. And that's just honesty, bro. Do you know what I mean?
I hear that. Yeah, it doesn't help with the wording and the spelling and that all goes into
it.
Like, bro, with Stylus, yeah, I wish I never even used Stylus when I look back. Like, but, because I've had it since high school, though, so it's like...
Yeah, precisely.
I called myself Stylus when I was, like, 15G, so, do you know what I mean?
But that's the thing, it comes back again to, like, at those point there, that time there, we weren't thinking about turning into some massive brand and using it as a brand. It's just a DJ name. Do you know what I mean? Like... So I think that's an important factor as well. to consider for I'm talking about for young new DJs starting out as they're building their fan base, as they're looking towards doing their events. Like,
I think a lot of these new school DJs, they're just way more plugged in now, bro. Like, obviously we came through a time before social media, so we just came, like, we didn't have to think about, oh, how we're going to build our brand on the gram and online and whatnot. But I think these kids are, I know kids now that are like 19, 20, and they've got their branding game sharp as a fucking knife, bro.
Yeah, but then, and I'm like, on the flip
if
side,
only I'm not saying I'm, I was going to say, if I was born in a later era like now, I would 100% be able to capitalize on it way more than what I did in my younger years.
Yeah, definitely. But I think you're right. 1,000,000%. Like, they're savvy with the social media side of it, and a lot of them have like the branding side. And when it comes to like Instagram content, they've got their cool DJ poses locked. But then the problem is they let themselves down with the skill set, because they focus so much time on making sure that they're getting a photograph in such and such a club, or making sure they're put on a flyer with such and such a name, etc., etc., they forget to be good DJs. And I'm generalizing, you know, I'm not talking about every single one of them, but in my experience, the ones that have got like proper sick branding and proper really savvy with social media, they don't know how to do a club set. They turn up and they're dog shit, bruv.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, you're trying to have it all like on smash.
You've got to make sure
and it's experience as well, man. It takes years to iron all that out, bro. Like, for me to be able to put this event on now, deal with the branding, the marketing, create the logos, do the social media and all that, that's my whole career.
Yeah, that's right. It's taking you like into one 14 years to get to where you're going on Saturday. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, 100%. Exactly that. Like, to be able to do it on your ones, like, I could have gone and hired bare staff and all that and sat back, but I thought, you know what, I'm just gonna crack on, innit? Yeah. One of them ones.
Yeah, man.
Well, DJs, you know what it is. Start a club night, innit?
Start a club night, exactly. Start a club
and stop
night.
Start a club night, stop bitching and be in control of your own destiny and make loads of peas while providing people with great music.
Exactly, and book DJ Double because he's too fucking lazy to do it himself.
And Stylus for giving, book Double because he can't be asked doing the work himself, and book Stylus for giving out the tips and tricks, you get me?
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Hashtag Talkover Podcast, of course, and obviously, we're on Spotify, and oh yeah, this is something I need to clear up, actually. So we've been saying Apple Music this whole time. It's actually Apple Podcasts is where you can find the podcast on
it's the same thing, man.
No, it's not.
People ain't that dumb, are they?
Believe me, actually, I've had some people hit me up that they haven't been able to find it on Apple Music. And basically, if you're on an iPhone, the app is Apple Podcasts. So don't open Apple Music or iTunes, whatever you call it. It's Apple Podcasts.
Okay.
Find the search bar on your phone and type in podcasts, and then the app will come up there. It's just called Podcasts. I wanted to clear that up, actually. Also, at Talkover Pod on Twitter, that's where we're getting a lot of people messaging and tweeting and stuff about certain topics that they want us to speak about. So if there's any topics you want us to talk about, just at TalkOverPod on Twitter, and we'll cover your topics for you and all that good stuff.
Oh God, the fuck! I don't need to plug nothing except Get Loose this Saturday.
Saturday night
in Manchester.
Saturday night, Manchester is getting shut down, and the next episode of the Talkover Podcast, we will either be celebrating Stylus's massive success of a night, or I'll be consoling him because no one turned up.
Flop. Yo, listen, when we do a pod next week, I'll be brutally honest, man. I'll tell people if it flopped or not. But like, I'm feeling semi-confident, bruv. I'm feeling secretly confident right now.
I think it's going to be a good one, bro.
The vibes is good. The branding's being on point. Without blowing my own trumpet, everything looking good.
Yes.
Bare sexy gal in the DMs asking for tables and that. Get me?
There you go.
So, yeah, man. We'll see how we go. I'm just gassed for the music, bro. Got Reckless coming down from Birmingham with Day-Day. Day-Day's going to do the hosting. Like, he's dope on the mic and that. Like, he's going to do his thing. Like, he's hosted for, like, he did the Mist tour and all that.
Sick.
And then I've got Kay, who's a local Manny guy. He's one of my brethren that I'm going to be playing. And then I've got a new kid called Sham Steele. He's in LA at the minute DJing out there, but he gets back Friday and he's coming straight to us. So we've got a good mixture. All the DJs are going to complement each other. I mean, bro, being able to handpick a DJ list like for the night, like, I've just enjoyed that.
Being able
to hit people up from around the country and building a little set. Like, the music on Saturday is going to be like nothing that Manny has had before, in my opinion.
That's sick, bro.
So we'll see how we go.
Good shit, man. Good shit.
Bless up, guys. Hashtag talkoverpod. I'll see you next week.
The end.